Episode number 113 is about running and families. Sometimes the two are in conflict with each other. Running takes time. Families certainly take time. In this episode, let's talk about what you can do to get them on board, to get the family involved in your hobby, and maybe even to get them to start running as well. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Let's talk about running families. What you can do to make the time you devote to your running easier on non-running family members, how to enlist their support, or better yet, how to get them involved. If you can get them running with you or running on their own, well, that's the icing on the cake, isn't it? I have a quote I think you'll like. Children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. That's the greatest gift, right? So you're on the right track with your running. But there's more to it than just setting an example. Before we get to that, this episode is sponsored by one of my favorite races, the St. Pete Beach Classic. I look forward to doing it every year. As soon as I hear the date, I block it out on my calendar because I know that's where I'll be that weekend. It's actually a whole weekend of racing and fun, the St. Pete Beach Classic weekend. Now, why would I want to tell you, my listeners, who hail from 162 countries about a local race? Because this weekend of races would make a great vacation for any runner and the perfect destination race for the whole family. There are actually four races, a 5K, a 10K, a 3.8-mile beach fun run, and a half marathon. You can do any single race or both the 5K and 10K, that's called the Classic Duo, or register for the Classic Individual Marathon, which means you do all four events, which just happens to add up to 26.2 miles. It's a really fun way to do a whole marathon. Since there are kids' races as well, there's something for everybody in the family. If you've never been to the paradise that is St. Pete Beach, Florida, you're in for a huge treat, and it's at its best in January. I do this race every year, and my local Run Tampa group always makes it a club event. Of course, I'll link to the race website in the show notes, and I sure hope I'll see you there. I have many friends whose kids seem to be born running. Almost as soon as they could walk, they were imitating mom or dad. And that is great. But it doesn't always work out that way. Running and families sometimes don't mix well, or mix about as well as oil and water. Whether we're talking about a non-running spouse or partner who doesn't run, or managing family responsibilities because of the demands of kids' activities, it seems to be especially difficult to get in that weekend long run. Often because baseball or football practice starts early on Saturday mornings. Parents sometimes have no choice but to start their runs at 4:30 or 5 o'clock to finish on time. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. It's just not even possible. Of course, the best situation is that you get your significant other or your kids to start running. If you're the lone runner, the bigger your family, the more juggling you'll do to manage family commitments while getting your training in. And you may really be sad that you can't hang out for breakfast with your friends after a morning run, or for a beer with your friends after an evening run. If you're fortunate, the family is understanding. But even then, you have to be careful to keep your running in perspective and respect that understanding. If you don't, they won't be a fan of your running for long. If you can get your family members involved, that goes a long way. Even if they don't run, often they're willing to join you, maybe riding along on a bike with you while you run, or volunteering at aid stations. That way, they get to know other non-running members and other runners' families. They may even commiserate, but that's a good thing, maybe a basis for a friendship. and they'll get to know the other runners too. So at races, they have lots of people other than you to support and cheer for. So it makes the whole experience more fun for them because they know so many people that they can watch for at the finish line. When my son Ben was on the swim team, I did most or spent most of my Saturdays and many of my Sundays in the bleachers watching the swim meet. My best friends were the other mothers. I guess we were like soccer moms. If only spouses of runners could bond that way. One way to help make this work is to do a trade-off, to be sure to show equal support for your spouse's hobby and to take over household or family responsibilities to make it possible for them to get away for time with their friends. Some couples do make this work, but it's not easy. If your mate appreciates what running gives you and how it helps you to be the best person you can be, that will go a long way towards making it work. I did a podcast a long time ago titled Date a Girl Who Runs. That was a blog post written by Jamie Pizarro on her blog, thebullrunner.com. I enjoyed it so much that I contacted her and I asked her for permission to read it on my podcast. It was such a perfect description of runners, and I think you'll appreciate it. Whether you're a man or woman, you'll get it. You'll really get it. That was podcast number 21. It's worth a listen. Jamie Pizarro, by the way, is one of the best known runners in the Philippines and co-founder of the Dream Runner Marathon, the first marathon in the world just for first-time marathoners. Anyway, I digress, but I do hope you'll look it up and listen to podcast number 21 and try to get your spouse to listen as well. Any way you look at it, your running isn't always easy on your family. It's a tricky road to walk. If there is any interest on their part in becoming a runner, I hope you'll refer them to the Beginner Runner Village podcast, my other podcast for beginner runners. Of course, you could get them started on your own. You could be their coach, sort of, but sometimes it's better to learn from someone to whom you're not emotionally related. You know, like I used to be a swim coach, but when my kids were of the age that I wanted them to learn to swim, I took them to swim lessons and let somebody else teach them. Anyway, that podcast is half motivation and half the nuts and bolts that every beginner runner needs. The other challenge is balancing the needs of the kids and their many activities with the time you need for training. And it's more than just managing the time. It's also a matter of getting them on board. Most of the parents I know run early or late, trading sleep or what little downtime they might have otherwise spent relaxing on the couch after a long day at work for running. As I mentioned, one way they make it work is to trade with the other parent, giving them equal opportunity to get out and exercise and spend time with their own friends. I'm pretty sure this arrangement makes both parties better parents and is actually quite good for the relationship. One secret, too, is to let them in on your plan, the whole family. Make your running goals a family project. When you do that, you're enabling them to buy in. I say share your goals with them. Put your cards on the table. Explain what you want to do and what it will require. If you want to do a marathon, don't even think about it unless you get the family on board. Because if you don't get them on board on your side, on your team, you'll actually end up pushing them away. They may resent the time you're devoting to a project that's yours alone. That could even cause them to resent your running and running in general. Instead of just asking for their understanding, ask them to help you, to be part of your team. This is empowering for them. Kids love the idea that their parent needs them, that the tables can be turned and they can help their parent achieve a goal. Call a family meeting and explain that you'll need them to be on your team, that you'll be on a journey together, that there will be times when you may have to miss dinner because you have to get in your run after work first, and that you'll be gone every Saturday morning for your long run. Invite the kids to join you. Maybe just for one or two afternoon runs, they could ride their bike with you. Or do this. You can find a way to let them help in the way of coaching you. Get a cheap chronograph watch and have them time lapse as you circle a track or the block. Make a simple goal, like that you want each lap to be faster than the last, even if it's only 1 second faster. Explain to them about negative splits. This way, you're imparting running knowledge to them. It'll make it more interesting to them. Then let your son or daughter time the laps and record the times. This can be special time for the two of you. Another way to get them involved is to put one or more to put one of the kids in charge of marking your calendar on your mileage, on a big calendar. Oh, and let me explain the calendar. I think I've done this before, but just in case, you want to have a very large calendar and mark your goal race. Put a big circle or star around it. Then explain what it'll take to get you there. Even share your schedule. In fact, you might want to write each day's mileage on the calendar. Then at the end of each day, let one of the kids make a big red X across that day to indicate that you completed your goal. That may have a magical effect because no one in the family will want to see an interruption in that chain of X's. One caveat here. Explain your schedule to the kids and the spouse. It'll likely be interesting to them. Explain how your rest days are as important as your running days, that you can only have good runs and benefit from the workouts if you have an easy day for every hard day, and if you make sure you actually do rest on your rest days. You get an X if you do what your schedule tells you to do. If your schedule says to rest, you get a red X if you rest. This way, you can keep your chain of X's going. This will be powerful in getting them to help make it happen, not to mention that you will be more motivated yourself when you see how they're buying into it. And consider the impact on the kids. Before you know it, each of them will be wanting to have a goal and a calendar to indicate their progress. Don't be surprised when one of them announces the desire to train to run a mile or a 5K. It'll almost always happen. They'll see how much fun it is. They'll want to be like you. And in doing so, in imitating you, they'll get fit. And they'll learn about making sacrifices and working hard towards a goal by completing short-term process goals over which they have complete control. Explain all that to them. You'll be teaching them a life lesson that's as valuable as the fitness you'll be teaching them by modeling. And when you have to miss a scheduled training day, boom, that's an opportunity to show them how to handle it and get right back out there the next day to start a new chain of X's. Every step of this is providing you with teachable moments. Yep, example is the best teacher. You're teaching them much more than the value of fitness. Some parents, most running parents, would love for their kids to start running. But the question is this. How do you get your kids to want to run if they don't? One of the secrets is to reinforce any interest they show early on. You might be worried that they're too young if they're only, say, 3, 4, or 5, but I think you should seize the opportunity anytime they show enthusiasm. Don't push them to do a lot. Don't push them to do anything. But if they're clamoring to join you, let them. Even a 3-year-old could get in the habit of running, say, 50 yards with you, and later, the first tenth of a mile, even if it's a walk run. There's no problem with that. If they join you on any level, that's good. Or set a distance, say, the distance between two light poles, and make it a game, a counting game, walking 10 steps and running 10 steps for just that short distance. Let your son or daughter count it out loud. They love that because they're counting for you, too. Again, you're empowering them. Then every week, add a step. Or if they're older, add 5 steps. You get the idea. Don't encourage them to expand the distance, say, to the next light pole. Instead, wait patiently until they're begging you to go farther. No matter how much you want them to run, let them feel like it's something they want that you're letting them do with you because they want it. This allows them to participate and, in fact, be a runner, but it keeps the intensity appropriately low and the fun level high. You can make it more fun by adding things that are good for children that will actually make them healthier without overdoing it. For example, every so often throw in the balancing exercise that requires standing and balancing on one foot. You can make a contest out of it to see which of you can balance the longest. They're bound to win sometimes, if not every time, and that will reinforce the whole activity, making it more fun. You can also do some skipping, too. That's a great running drill, one that kids will love and that's already familiar to them. And here's a good one. Draw a hopscotch board on the ground with chalk and do that a few times as part of the workout. Kids will love this, especially if you explain that it's more than hopscotch. It's teaching them agility, a skill or something that will improve their muscles that will help them perform better at all physical activities. When you think about it, hopscotch is just an agility ladder in a slightly modified shape. It's great plyometric exercise for you, and it's appropriate for kids too. Jumping jacks and hopscotch are great exercises for kids, and throw in jumping rope too. In this way, you can help them to be well-rounded. Do a couple of those exercises, then run a set planned distance, then do a couple more of those, then run the distance again, and so on. This could be a workout that you do once or twice a week or three times a week together. The kids will love it. When they get tired, they will be fine to go off and play, and you then will have time to take off and run a few miles on your own. Or maybe they'll keep up with you on their bikes. That kind of workout will make running fun because it's more than just running. It lets them decide, how much they want to do. Praise them for it and leave it at that. Totally refrain from encouraging them to do more. Leave that up to them. The key is to follow their lead. If they show any interest, encourage it, but don't get carried away. Just supporting and encouraging and then make sure that it's fun. It's not about how fast they run. I wouldn't ever time them. Let them wait until they're old enough to be on a cross-country team at school, and even then, leave the timing to the coach. You're just there to be their running buddy, their supporter, their cheerleader, and their parent. Now, what if that doesn't work? What if your kids are too old to find any pleasure in marking X's for you or jumping rope or riding along with you on their bike? As you likely have learned, sometimes encouraging the kids to do something is the very, very thing that will steer them away, particularly once they're 12 or older. I would say that if they're happy playing any sport or doing any regular exercise, whether it's rollerblading, skateboarding, or cycling, or I guess they call it riding their bikes, as long as they are doing something for fitness, your best role is that of role model. The key is that you're setting a great example, and it won't be lost on the kids. They may not let on, but as they get older, they'll understand that fitness is part of life. They don't have to run, but they do have to exercise regularly. Neither of my kids were runners growing up. Ben joined the swim team when he was 9 and continued for a year or so to juggle Little League and swimming until finally he decided to devote all of his efforts to swimming. I was thrilled to witness his work ethic, and it really didn't matter at all to me that he wasn't running. Wendy was a dancer. By the time she was a teen, she was playing softball and taking several dance classes every week. I encouraged her to do what she liked. After college, I got her to do a few 5Ks with us. Well, with the whole family. Ben's coach had him do running as cross training, so it was relatively easy for him. Wendy enjoyed participating, but I think mainly because she liked that it was a family event. She didn't really care much for running. Then I got her to do a trail race with me. And from then on, she was a trail runner. She had found her love and did a trail marathon long before her first road marathon. And she did her first 50K before I did my first 50K. She's been my trail running buddy ever since. But like many runners, her interest is not in speed. She isn't the least bit competitive. No, she loves being outside, feeling invigorated, seeing wildlife and wildflowers, being with trail running friends, and tailgating after a great long run through the woods. My point with this is that if your kids don't take to it, You might find them alongside you, loving it just as much as you, one day down the road. But you have to give them time to discover it on their own and to make it what they need it to be. Even if your family doesn't take to running, they may be happy to join you at some level, and that may just evolve into much more at some point down the road. One other point. Don't ever feel guilty about taking time away from your family to run. But do remember that there is a time for every goal. But when your kids are young, unless your spouse is very supportive, you may need to delay marathons until the kids are older. It can be done, and many pull it off, but it's critical to only set goals that will work with your family and your work schedule. Never let running be a bone of contention in the family. Sometimes you have to accept that you can run enough to stay fit and compete now and then in shorter races, but that it might be better to put off training for longer races until another time. Every situation is different. Just remember to always make running the part of your life that serves you best. As long as you keep it in perspective, running will give you all kinds of benefits. It'll be your therapist. It'll help you handle the hardest days at work. And it'll keep you healthy to keep up with your kids and live long enough to enjoy their kids and their kids' kids. You'll be a better spouse, parent, child, friend, and co-worker. All that sounds too good to be true, but you listeners are runners, and I'm sure you all already know that to be true. That's it. If you have kids and they aren't involved in your running, why not try to change that this week? If nothing else, get a calendar and start a chain of X's and see where it takes you and them. Now, on a different subject, I'm happy to announce the registration for our Tampa Running Retreats is now open. All the information is now up on the website, tamparunningretreats.com. We've got registration open for the first two, and we'll be opening up registration for two more soon. We'll be offering two different kinds of retreats, beginner retreats for people just starting their running journey, and race retreats that include a local world-class race event. The first race event we'll be building a retreat around is, wait for it, the St. Pete Beach Classic. And we'll stay at the Host Hotel in St. Pete, the Serrata. I just can't wait. Registration is also open for a beginner runner retreat, also in January. That one is a weekend of coaching with me. This is for people still working up to their first 5K, and that event will be in downtown Tampa. You'll get to run or do a walk run at many of my favorite running places. And don't worry that I'll run you too much. I will remember that you're beginners. We'll do a lot of walking too, but you will love it. And you will leave here feeling like you're ready to launch into a career of running. To learn all the details, go to Tampa Running Retreats. There is only room for 20 in each retreat. So you'll want to register and get a spot early. Now, I have several quotes about families running. Adults call it working out. Kids call it playing. Happy, healthy parents make happy, healthy children. That's from Dr. Miriam Stoppard. I thought about giving up, then I remembered who was watching. Oh, I love that. That's from Ashley Alexis Baker. Be the person you want your children to be. If you could just accept that I love running and not act like I'm crazy, that'd be great. I found that on fuelrunning.com. And this from a Minions poster. Here's to the girls who grew up playing in the dirt, ran outside barefoot, and weren't afraid to be one of the boys. I'll be back soon.